Now, I'd like you to come again to John chapter 3, please. John's Gospel, chapter 3, and reading from verse 14. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Verse 34. For he whom God hath sent speaketh the words of God, for God giveth not the Spirit by measure unto him. The Father loveth the Son, and hath given all things into his hand. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. And we do trust that God will bless further reading of the Scriptures. I remember after a gospel meeting, one lady commented, it was advertised that it would be preached the next night, and she said, is it the same message next night? Well, of course it was, maybe from different scriptures, but we've only got one message, and I'm going to, in effect, repeat the message you've just heard in my words and in the words of Scripture. Because we're going to tell you that God had a great work to do, a work of salvation. In order to carry out that work, he sent his Son to die for you on the cross. And now the responsibility is yours, whether you're willing to receive that salvation and that Saviour or not. It really comes over to you. God's part is done in that sense. I want to look at the four verses, 14 to 17 initially, and if you'll notice at the beginning of verse 16 it says, for God. The beginning of 17 it says, for God. So, in effect, there's an explanation going on here. In verses 14 and 15, we see the Lord Jesus crucified, the Son of Man lifted up. That's what it means, lifted up on a cross. Verse 16 tells us why, for God so loved the world. Verse 17 tells us why, for God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world. So I want to go backwards through those verses. I want to see in verse 17 what God had in mind. In verse 16, what motivated God? And then in verse 14 and 15, what need to be done. If you like to think of it like this, in verse number 17, we've got the mission. This is what God was doing. What was God interested in this world for? In verse number 16, we've got the motivation. In verse 14 and 15, we've got the must. The thing that had to be done if God's plan was to work. Now, you're part of this. It's all about you. We've heard that. The whosoever brings all in, and we want you to think about it. Firstly, then, verse 17. God sent not his Son into the world to condemn, that is, mean to judge the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Now, there are two things in this verse, judgment and salvation. And they both are very important to think about. First of all, God is looking down, and remember, maybe you don't remember, let me tell you. Back in Genesis, God looked down on this world and he said, they're all sinned. I'm going to punish man for their sin. I'm going to judge this world. They need to be destroyed, these people. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And while the judgment was withheld, a message of salvation was declared. And that's what's happening here. God, when he sent the Lord Jesus, he was coming to do a work of salvation. Coming to save you. You know, that's important, because if God is sending a Saviour, is doing a work of salvation, that means you must need one. And we all do, you know. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's not a single person on the earth who has lived properly and perfectly before God without sinning. That is not possible. God says that in his word. And I want you to think about it. I remember looking at a company of people one day, and on one side there were all these people who'd been brought in from very disadvantaged and difficult backgrounds. Others were neighbours of the believers. Two different kind of people. One clearly marked by the difficulties and problems and sin. And I simply said this, I don't know where to start. Some of you here know that you're sinners. I don't need to tell you. Others of you don't believe you're sinners, and I do need to tell you, because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I want to say to you tonight that don't look at anyone else. Look across this across this hall. Look into your own heart. The Bible says you have sinned. Now, until you can realize that and understand the truth of that, you'll never appreciate God's salvation. There's no point going out to rescue a man who doesn't know he's drowning. If he thinks he can do it, he won't want you. But when you realize that you've come to a point where you must get a Savior, we can point you to the Savior. So God has this mission to do. And it says he didn't send his Son into the world to judge the world. Mind you, he will. That will happen. Acts 17, Paul's preaching and he says, God has appointed a day in which he will judge this world in righteousness by that man whom he has ordained, whereof he has given assurance in that he has raised him from the dead. The Lord Jesus died and rose again so he can be your Saviour. The Lord Jesus died and rose again and God's appointed him as the judge. And he'll be one or the other to you. He'll either be your Saviour or he'll be your judge. I wonder which one you choose. It's your choice, you know. God says, my mission was not to judge, it was to save. And that's why the Lord Jesus came. But God will judge. And we're hearing that from Peter's epistle. He's waiting for people to repent. But the next verse says, but the day of the Lord will come. That's the day of judgment. And I want you to think about it seriously tonight. Why do we say these things? They're miserable things, aren't they, to talk about? Someone asks, why do you say them? Well, you know, it's just a word of warning. It's just simply letting you know where you'll end up if you don't get God's salvation. We have to warn you. We have to be honest with you. I'm reading it in the Bible. I'm telling you about it. If you don't get saved, you'll come under the judgment of God. But God has instituted a mission, a plan. And he didn't send his Son into the world for the judgment, not this time. He sent him to be your Saviour. The Lord Jesus said that. He said, the Son of Man, that's himself, is come to seek and to save that which was lost. And if you're not lost, you don't need saving. But are you lost? The Bible says, by nature, all are lost. Doesn't matter how good you are, you need a Saviour. Well, that's the mission. That's what God had in mind in sending his Son. Why did he do it? I mean, you know, you think back to Noah's day, he could have wiped the whole scene clear, started all over again. But Noah found grace. Grace is a lovely thing. It's God giving what we don't deserve, isn't it? It's God looking down in kindness and care and providing for us. We don't deserve it, but he's done it. Well, let's look at the verse again. It tells us why God so loved the world. Now, I can't understand that, can you? You think of this world. Look at it today. Let your mind wander, I guess, across the world. We'll come back to you because you're the important one here in this gospel meeting. But let it go out across the world and you think, wow, look at the things that are happening in the world. And God is looking down from heaven and he loves this world. Yes, that's the heart of God. Not because of anything in us. God, the Bible says God is love. So he has to love. It's part of the very nature and personality of God. God so loved the world. And you look across and say, did God love a world like this? Look into your own heart. Did God love someone like you? He did, you know. The Bible says God so loved the world. We read another passage about God loving us. But then Paul says, the Son of God loved me. Does God love you? He does, you know. And that's why he sent his Son to die for you. That text up there was across the back, and I've told this a number of times, I love the thought of it. It was across the back of a little area where we were handing out gospel texts, and there was someone on the opposite side in this market area, and she was looking across all day. She read that verse, had to keep reading it all day, until finally she came across and said, I wouldn't give my Son for anyone. The truth got through that this was a big thing that God did. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. God will not allow anyone, we'll see that at the end here, to come into heaven who doesn't come to know his Son. Not one. God so loved, we'll come to that in a moment, but let's look at his love for you at the moment. God so loved the world that he gave. Now, you can usually assess love by a gift, can you? Well, whether you can or not, we certainly can here, because that's what the verse is saying. He loved the world in such a way that it caused him to give his only begotten Son. God did that for you, you know. He gave his only begotten Son. Have you ever thanked him for doing that? Have you ever thought of coming into the presence of God and just acknowledging that that was a wonderful thing that God did to give his Son for you? Don't reject him. That's throwing back God's love into his face. That is really a bad and sad thing to do, to just ignore what God has done. After all, he is God. He's the eternal God. He's the God of all this world and all the universe. He's brought it all into being. He really is someone you should take note of. And here he's loving you. And he wants to reach you. He has no pleasure in the death of the wicked. It doesn't please God to see a wicked man die. It doesn't satisfy the heart of God to see someone die in their sins and go down to hell. That is not satisfactory to God. He doesn't want it. That's why he did this. He so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, and this is why he did it, so that whosoever, any individual who believes in him, should not perish but have everlasting life. I always think the sad word in that verse is perish, because if you don't trust him, you'll perish. It's as clear as that. If you don't trust him, you'll perish. The rich man died, and in hell he lifted up his eyes in torment. What a solemn thing for the Lord Jesus to tell us. He drew the veil aside and let us have a glimpse into that eternal future. And the man died without Christ and died without hope and forever banished from the presence of God. There's not even a way across the great gulf that's fixed to bring a little water to cool his tongue. But God loves you. He doesn't want that to happen. And we love you tonight. We want you to be saved. God so loved the world that he gave. It's the gift, his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him, in the Lord Jesus Christ, should not perish but have everlasting life. What a moment that was. All of us here who are saved tonight, what a moment it was when we put our trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and knew our sins were all forgiven and that we were on the way to heaven. It was a tremendous moment. What joy in our hearts. You can have that joy tonight if you'll trust the Lord Jesus as your Saviour. Well, then we go back another step. We've seen the mission and the motivation is the love of God. So what was the must of the next verse? Even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have eternal life. We're back to the cross. We're back to Calvary. That's what it's all been about. Why must the Son of Man be lifted up? Because God loves you and God instituted this mission to save you. But now come back, what did he do? He must be lifted up. That's talking about the cross. You know, back in the wilderness there, the people were being bitten and they were dying. And God said, well, you make a brazen serpent and put it up on a pole. Put it there where everyone can see it. As soon as someone's bitten, they look and they live. Why did they live? Why did they live by looking? Because God said so. If they obeyed what God said by looking at that brazen serpent, oh, they're bitten, they're in their tent, they move to the door, they look, they're healed. Because God said so. And he said, just as surely as that was lifted up, serpent was lifted up, so the Son of Man must be lifted up on a cross. And everyone, whosoever believeth in him, should not perish but have eternal life. So you think of it tonight. We say it in terms of look and live. I'm a guilty sinner. Jesus died for me. I look and live. I look to the cross and I say, he's dying for me. He's not there on the cross anymore. Never mind crosses with a figure on them. That's not true anymore. He's not on the cross anymore because he bore the punishment for sin. He died that awful death on the cross. He rose again from the dead. He's on the throne of heaven, not on the cross, but he was there. And he was there so that you could have your sins forgiven. He was there to bring about the fulfillment of this great plan that God had made. He sent his Son into the world that the world might be saved. Why did he do it? Because he so loved the world that he did it. And how is he going to do it? The Son of Man lifted up on a cross. That's how he did it. Have you got a better way of salvation? Let me tell you this. The Lord Jesus said, I am the way, the truth and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. There is no other way to God. This is unique. This is definite. This is personal. This is important and it's imperative. There's only one way to God and it's Christ. There's nothing else on offer. You need a Saviour and there he is. He is the Saviour for you. In the latter verse that we read, I just want to impress your responsibility. God's done everything, hasn't he? He made a plan. He carried out the plan because of his love. It led to his son being on a cross to die for you. So what do you do about it? Verse 18 tells us now, we'll come to see the message that comes to you. He that believeth on him is not condemned. So that's how you avoid the judgment. You believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. But he that believeth not is condemned already. My, have you got God's judgment hanging over you because you refuse to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ? He that believeth not, that's disobedience. That's refusing to obey the gospel. Did you know the gospel needs to be obeyed? We read that. What shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel? This is a demand of the gospel, that you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Is condemned already. Why? Because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. That's a solemn thing to do, to fail to believe in the only begotten Son of God, because God has given him specially that you might be saved. I like these last two verses, and I'll finish with them. The Father loves the Son and has given all things into his hand. Now, verse 16, God loved the world, but here the Father loves the Son. And so you imagine it in your mind, the Son is very important to the Father. After all, he did the Father's will, he went to the cross, he died, and heaven has been satisfied. Heaven has found total satisfaction in what the Lord Jesus did. And what God is asking of you, to acknowledge that and to believe on him. Now, the Father loves the Son and has given all things into his hand. And he says this, he that believes on the Son has everlasting life. But he that believes not the Son of God shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. What we're learning is this. God loves his Son so much, and he has done such a wonderful work on the cross, that God says, unless you trust my Son, you'll not enter into my heaven. The Father loves the Son. He loves you, but he loves his Son. And he's given all things into his hand. So if you believe on the Son, you'll have everlasting life. If you refuse him, the wrath of God will abide upon you. God will not allow anyone to escape who refuses his Son. He loves his Son. And he gave him to that death. And he brought him back out from the dead because of his pleasure in what he had done. And he's seated in glory. And the Father looks with love on his Son. And if you refuse his Son, God will refuse you. That is the message of this chapter. It's a wonderful chapter. Brings us all God's gracious provision. But there's a warning there. The wrath of God abiding on him. You wouldn't want God's wrath on you, would you? Not when the Lord Jesus has made it possible for you to be saved. Not when you can have life, eternal life, and joy and salvation in our Lord Jesus Christ. Why would you die in your sins? Why would you want to go down to hell? Well, you say, I don't want to. Well, there's only one escape. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. I leave you with those words of those last two verses. The Father loves the Son and has given all things into his hand. He that believes on the Son has everlasting life. But he that believes not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. Trust him and you'll be saved. Let's pray. Father, we thank thee for the good news of the gospel. We thank thee that it is a message of life and salvation, but is a warning. And we pray that there may be those in our meeting who will heed the warning tonight and turn to the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. We pray that thy Spirit will work in the hearts of those here. There might be conviction and conversion. So, Father, we just commend us to thee. We thank thee too that thou art mindful of every need and temporal needs as well. We thank thee for providing for those again. We acknowledge that thou art good to us in all these ways, and we give our thanks now for food and especially for the Saviour in his worthy and precious name. Amen.